There is a lot of talk out there, including among top-ranking intelligence officials, that Vladimir Putin may hand you over to the Trump administration.
I mean, that would obviously be something that would bother me. That would obviously be something that would be a threat to my liberty and to my life. But what I'm saying here is that the Russian government may see me as sort of a liability. You can't have it both ways. You can't say this guy is a bad guy who's like a Russian tool or something like that. At the same time, you say he's going to be traded away. What I'm proud of is the fact that every decision that I made, I can defend.
I'm asking you, as the White House senior policy advisor, the president made a statement saying he was the victim of voter fraud, people being bused from Massachusetts.
The president was.
Do you have any evidence?
We know for a fact you have massive numbers of non-citizens registered to vote in this country. Nobody disputes that. That's the story we should be talking about, and I'm prepared to go on any show, anywhere, anytime, and repeat it and say the President of the United States is correct 100%.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, February 13th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell. Glad to have you along for another business day. Lots going on today with the markets, and not only that, here at home, too, some business news happening, some news about Sears and Ivanka Trump we'll get to in a minute. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk to J.J. Ramberg, the co-founder of Good Shop, creator of Gumdrop. How would you like to visit sites on the internet and see coupons immediately for things you might be able to buy, and then also donate to charity while you're at it? We'll talk about that, and just in just a couple of seconds, we'll talk with the CEO of At Properties in Chicago. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing upwards this morning. The Dow futures up 31 right now. S&P and NASDAQ futures look positive as well. Around the globe this morning in Europe, all of the indices are higher, with the CAC up almost a full percent this morning. The DAX and FTSE are trading up about a half a percent as well. The DAX is, the FTSE is not, but it's still in positive territory. Asian markets all higher as well, with the Nikkei leading the way there. Around the globe this morning, again, Asian stock markets up after Wall Street hit a new high, and a meeting between President Trump and Japan's prime minister over the weekend appeared to soothe tensions over trade and currency. Shanghai Composite advanced almost a half a percent. Tokyo Index, also Seoul's Index up this morning. Benchmarks in New Zealand and Southeast Asia also up. A rally in small company stocks on Friday helped push benchmarks to all-time highs. Miners and other raw material companies led gains, while rising oil prices gave energy companies a big boost. Strong company earnings, investor optimism over the Trump administration, promises of tax cuts, less government regulation, and other policies helped fuel the market's gain much of the week. Some other news. While you slept last night, the head of the International Monetary Fund says President Trump taking office is likely good for the U.S. economy in the short term, though rising American interest rates and a strengthening dollar will challenge global trade. Christine Lagarde said Mr. Trump's plans for additional investment in U.S. infrastructure and his likely tax reforms will boost the American economy. Also this morning, Sears Roebuck, Sears Holdings, also with Kmart in tow there, has announced they're going to stop selling Ivanka Trump material, joining Nordstrom and also TJ Maxx in dumping Ivanka's line, down almost 34% at Nordstrom's alone. The Chicago real estate market is hot, hot, hot these days. A perfect time to invite Thad Wong, the co-founder of At Properties, in today for our CEO Spotlight. He's here with us today. At Properties, by the way, is one of the largest independently owned residential real estate brokerage firms in Illinois, one of the 11 largest firms in the U.S. by sales volume. Thad, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell. I guess we'd start first by talking a little bit about At Properties. It seems like whenever I'm walking around any neighborhood in Chicago, I always see one of your signs, and even outside of the city of Chicago, too, I see some of these signs.
Well, our company was founded in 2000, really around the idea that we could provide greater resources to the consumer and to distribute it through the individual brokers. So over the last 17 years, we've been building technology, building infrastructure and systems for our individual brokers to use to provide a much more greater service and better resources for all of the consumers. And we've always just pushed the envelope to try to bring more and make the market significantly more competitive.
What would you say is the biggest part of the success? Is it the tech? Is it the approach to dealing with brokers or all of it?
Ironically, I'll say the number one piece to our success has been the culture of the organization. That culture revolves around the development of relationships, the pursuit of excellence, and the drive of innovation. But if I don't think if we had that culture that was really absorbing and really driving those ideas, we wouldn't be as successful as we have been.
So when you talk about culture, give us a sense of that. So if I go to real estate company B, how does it compare to At Properties?
I think at Properties, one of the big differences is that we individually celebrate success on a daily basis. We recognize achievements, but at the same time, as opposed to just recognizing sales volume achievements, we recognize service achievements, we both publicly and privately to customers. We recognize our individual agents who are striving for excellence, and that's not just in real estate sales. So we try to embrace a philosophy that we as a group, which is now a large group, we've had almost 2,200 people, we're all working together to provide better service to the community as a whole.
When I opened the show, I mentioned that your signs I see everywhere, it seems, even in other cities. Give us a sense of how big you are nationwide and how you've spread to other places.
It's interesting. So my partner and I do not want to have an office that is more than 2 hours away. We like knowing the receptionists. We like knowing the managing brokers. We like being a part of every operation. So we don't have a desire to grow nationally beyond our current footprint, which is really Chicagoland and the second home markets of Lake Geneva, Harbor Country, St. Joe, Michigan. Is the places where we're servicing our existing clientele, that's where we want to stay focused. And that's enough of a market for us.
Yeah. So you're not going to end up in San Francisco or on the East Coast?
Unlikely. Unlikely. We've both got a lot of kids. We both like being home close with our families. So sticking it local has been helpful and beneficial.
Thad, hang on with us. We're going to take a break here for traffic. We're on with Thad Wong this morning, who is the CEO and co-founder of At Properties in Chicago, the largest independently owned residential real estate brokerage firm in Illinois.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. In the CEO spotlight today is Thad Wong. He's the CEO and founder of At Properties in Chicago, a company that has more than 2,200 agents. They've sold, representing more than 5,500 units valued at over $2.6 billion, 100 developments in there as well. Under Wong's direction, the company has grown into one of the biggest, if not the biggest, real estate brokerage firms in Illinois. Thad, with us this morning. Thad, let me ask you this, because people wonder how much the CEO plays a role in success of companies like yours. How much interaction do you have on a day-in, day-out basis with your agents?
Significant. Right now, we operate all of our monthly sales meetings with all of our individual brokers and managing brokers. We're right now combining two offices, which will be the largest office in Illinois, where Mike and I can both interact with all of our agents. There'll be approximately 400 licenses there at some point. And we like being around brokers. We like managing and operating from within the operation so we can understand what they're dealing with on a daily basis. And also it gives us the opportunity to be helpful with specific challenges, which keeps us on our toes and helps us with our innovation on how to solve problems moving forward.
How much of an expert do you have to be about the housing market? Let's talk specifically about housing inventories. We've been hearing a lot in the headlines lately about that at a 10-year low. Do you have to keep up on a lot of this stuff and sort of be an expert with all of these different areas?
Absolutely. I think that it's really about being hyper-local. When you talk about inventories low everywhere, that's kind of, I compare those statements to taking the temperature of the United States of America. You know, it might be nice to know it, but you're really much more interested in what's going on where you are in that moment. And the hyper-local market and the education and the understanding of that market is crucial for an individual broker to give proper service. When you don't understand or know your market and you don't have experience or able to tap into others with experience to give service, you're not going to give quality service. And there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of understanding that revolves around public schools, transportation, commercial infrastructure, housing stock, zoning, all of the small details that drive the growth of individual neighborhoods.
It's so rare that we get to have questions for expertise like you in studio. So I'll just ask the question, how do we better understand a market like Chicago if we don't look at that basic inventory number? How would you describe the market? What do you look at to decide?
Well, I think it has to do with what the individual buyer is looking for, because how I look at the market, in my view, from a macro perspective, is one thing. But if we're servicing an individual buyer or family looking for a home and they have specific needs, they might have needs for transportation, so they have a short commute. They may believe and want to send their kids to public schools, so they want to know what are the best public schools. Food might be really important to them, so being close to the best pizza or the best cheeseburger. So there's a lot of different things. It really revolves around listening and understanding an individual's desires before you can help them buy. And when it comes to selling and positioning a home for sale, being able to understand the assets of that community so you can appropriately express them through marketing to drive traffic, marketing through digital and still a little bit of print and a lot of social. If you don't understand what really makes the vibrancy of the neighborhood, you're not going to be able to convey that properly to a buyer who may be willing to pay more than another.
So what would you say is the hottest neighborhood in the city in Chicago, and what's driving the hotness?
It's tough to say because you have a lot of different buyers from, you know, first-time millennials all the way to empty nesters. And each segment of the population has a different hot neighborhood. So some of the most gentrified neighborhoods like Lincoln Park and Gold Coast are still enormously hot and very desirable. But when you have these young millennials that are really believing now and understanding that home ownership is far better value proposition financially than renting, they are looking at a lot of the fun emerging neighborhoods where, for instance, the West Loop, where you have McDonald's going in, Google going in. You've got a lot of jobs being created there in a central area where a lot of interest in technology is being formed with the Soho House socially and Great Burger, Au Cheval, you know, Green City Meat Market. So that's very popular. And then getting out of the loop a little bit, one of the neighborhoods that has been emerging for the last 20 years since I've been in the business has been Logan Square. Everyone's talked about Logan Square. Logan Square is now about as hot as you can possibly imagine. There's a very little housing stock there. There's a very low dense neighborhood. So the population there and the lack of availability in inventory are driving prices higher.
We've been a lot of the discussion in the headlines of the news over the last week or so has been about the education secretary. And how much is education playing a role in some of these hot neighborhoods?
It's playing an enormous role. Public schools have really driven property values in a number of the neighborhoods in Chicago over the last 10 years. There's been a movement to stay in the city by young people, and they want to be able to take advantage of the benefits of their tax dollars, their property tax dollars. So when you look at the neighborhoods that have experienced the greatest amount of value and increase in values, they are areas that are surrounded or a part of a fabulous public elementary school. And so even with a lot of bad news in budget cuts and CPS, at the same time, for the families in these neighborhoods, they are having very good experiences with their schools, and those schools are still strong, are incredibly strong. They're strong, though, primarily because they have an enormous amount of influence and partnership among the parents of the students that are enrolled there. When you look on a global side and you look at some of the ideas of charter schools, I think Chicago has seen some, and I think there's a lot of concern. You know, people look at, if they get into the details, they'll look at, you know, 20% of a budget being allocated for selective charter schools, and only 12% of the students are being serviced by that. And if they see more, if we see more investment into ratios that are off as far as expense and benefit, there's a lot of concern for people that believe in the public school system.
And people who are fighting against who had fought against the secretary nominee for education, they must love hearing you say that the fight is over public education, that people want public education.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is a big fight. You know, it's hard. You look at public schools and the value of public schools in the United States of America and the government's involvement. And when you have somebody that is running for that post or being assigned to that post who have never attended a public school, it's hard to bring validation to their level of understanding of exactly what decisions are going to benefit a public school.
You talked about the West Loop and the notion that we have major corporations relocating to Chicago to be next to the young people in these neighborhoods. That must bode well for the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chicago, for as much as the bad rap that it's getting nationally, and I agree, we do have violence issues. They're not quite as bad as they're being portrayed. Our city is vibrant and our city is having a fantastic, almost renaissance right now of corporations moving back to the city because employees want to be close to their families. They want to shorten their commute. They want to have a balanced lifestyle. The millennials want great food, great culture, great entertainment, diversity. So our city's really seeing a fabulous amount of growth. I'm excited for the next 5, 6, 7 years, when we see a lot of these corporate moves and we see a lot of excitement. 1871 is thriving. They're coming online with some of the best startups in America. They've got great leadership there and great innovation. So I'm incredibly bullish on Chicago. Actually, I don't know how you can't be.
Thad, wonderful meeting you. Thanks for being on the Opening Bell, and best of luck to At Properties in the coming year.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thad Wong is co-founder and CEO of At Properties, the largest independently owned residential real estate brokerage firm in Illinois. And you can follow them on Twitter, at Properties, ampersand Properties, and then also online, atproperties.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 540, and now the business of saving you a little money and helping some of your favorite organizations, like perhaps the Humane Society. Our guest part of the show is J.J. Ramberg, the host of MSNBC's weekend business program, Your Business. It airs Sunday mornings. And also, she is the creator of Gumdrop by GoodShop, a browser add-on. It does a couple of things. We'll talk to JJ about those as we welcome her into the show. Good morning, JJ.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the program.
It's so great to have you. I wanted to not to steal the thunder about what this is, because I'd like for you to explain what Gumdrop by GoodShop does.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I love talking about nothing but. So Gumdrop is a browser add-on. Like you said, it takes 30 seconds to add. And then every time you get to an online store, it does two things. One, for everyone out there who has ever done a Google search for coupons, you don't have to do that anymore. Gumdrop make it so that the coupons automatically activate on your screen when you go to an online store. And then two, the part that's very exciting, is that a percentage of what you spend goes back to your favorite cause or personal campaign, anything you choose. So we've raised about $12 million so far for all kinds of great causes out there.
One of my favorite causes, and I guess it's one of the new ones, is the Humane Society. Tell us about some of the causes, that one in particular, if you don't mind.
Sure. So, we have the Humane Society of the United States, the ASPCA. We have local dog shelters. We have schools. We have people who have raised money for medical care. We've built playgrounds, you name it. We work with about 100,000 causes, and again, it's $12 million. And what's so neat about it, for anyone out there who's familiar with Amazon Smile, it's so that a percentage of what you spend goes back to your cause. This is like Amazon Smile for thousands of other stores. You don't pay anything extra, but automatically you're supporting a cause that you choose every time you shop.
JJ, give us a sense of couponing, because I remember the days when we used to get the Sunday paper and cut paper coupons out, and my mom always did some couponing, and I used to do it too. Is it still a big deal to coupon?
Well, I'll tell you, that business that you're talking about is still a billion-dollar industry, those paper coupons. But as you can imagine, much of this has moved online. And so, yes, it's enormous. I know before I started this, I would never buy something from a store without first opening up another browser tab and then typing in, let's just say I was at the Gap coupons, and seeing if there was a coupon code. And so this way, it just takes that step away from you. It's huge. We have more than 500,000 coupon codes and deals listed on Gumdrop and GoodShop.
If you're not doing these coupon codes, you're probably losing out money, because some of them can be worth quite a bit. What are the rates here, the rankings, from the smallest to the biggest, would you say? in terms of how much you could save. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, we've got things for, you know, 50% off. We've got $10 off. We have free shipping. Here's the thing. You know when you're shopping online and you just get to the checkout and it says submit coupon code here if you have one? And I just simply felt like an idiot. Well, if there's a box here, there must be one.
Right.
And that's why we started this, is let's make this whole process easy. We know people want them. But it's just like the coupon codes you would find elsewhere. Sometimes we get exclusive ones, but it simply makes the process automatic for you, so you don't have to take another step.
You know, and I'm one of those people, too, that when I get to that point, I always stop the purchase, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go try to find the coupon code. And then it takes, you know, forever, and then you lose what's in your basket sometimes. This sort of saves all of that time and energy.
Yeah, so the coupon codes automatically come up on your screen, so you don't have to go look for them. And then, again, you get to feel really good about it because a percentage of what you're spending is going back to a cause with no cost and no effort to you. And to me, that's just that's when you get to feel good because you save money. You feel good because you're helping someone or something that you care about. And all it took from you is 30 seconds. And so I know I sound so salesy in this call, but it's because I'm such a big proponent of, like, you know, if we can help someone and it doesn't take any effort, why not do it?
JJ, let me ask you this, because I'm sure there are a few people out there who are listening that thinks, okay, well, what do I have to give up to get this browser add-on? Is it a security risk? Is it taking any of my privacy away? What do you say to those folks?
I say what you have to give up is you have to give up 30 seconds of your life to click on getgumdrop.com and add it. But no, you know, that the browser add-ons have become incredibly common right now. And so Chrome has a browser add-on store, Firefox does. And so it's not the same as in the old days when people need to be scared of malware and other things that they thought came in toolbars and in add-ons. It's the technology has changed so significantly since then. And when you use it, look, you're shopping on the store just like you normally would. You're shopping on the Gap or Sephora, wherever you're shopping, the same as you normally would. That they're the ones who take your credit card.
You know, as somebody who is in this business news area, you know just as well as I do that the online shopping had its best ever holiday season this past holiday. Are we looking at a time, JJ, when we see some of the brick and mortar stores completely go away and everything is done online?
Interesting. So we do a lot about this on my show as well, because we cover a lot of small businesses and growing retail stores. And it's funny, as some of the bigger stores have troubles with their brick and mortars, there are also some stores that started online that are starting brick and mortars because they still want that touch with customers and still feel like customers want to go and see the product and try them on. It may change, right? So it may just become more of a place you go to browse and then you do your actual purchasing online. But I don't think we're going to get to a point where we have no brick and mortars.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where people still at least some point like to hold what they're going to buy and maybe even try it on. But the numbers this past holiday season are numbers to be reckoned with, aren't they?
Oh, I mean, and it's only going to continue, right? As it becomes easier, as people get better at selling things online through video, et cetera, sure, it's just going to keep going.
Do you see that coupons and not only that, coupons plus causes, I guess, is a good way to describe it. Is that more of a millennial thing, or is it generational at all?
Well, absolutely, millennials care about giving back and care about working with companies that have some sort of sense of social responsibility. So there's no doubt that is generational. But, I mean, look, one of the reasons I started this is because I was a kid during the days of Ben and Jerry's when it first came out and the body shop. And to me, I just thought, wow, it's so neat that you can have a profitable business that is in support of good causes. And so that's been going on since I was a kid. And I know a lot of people who feel like me who are my age, too.
So, JJ, how do people get the browser? Is it available for all of the browsers, and where do they go to find it?
It is available, yes, for all the browsers. We're building the one for IE right now for the next IE, but Chrome and Firefox, Safari, you can just go to getgumdrop.com. It takes 30 seconds, literally, and then you'll have it. You'll have immediate and automatic access to all those coupons, and you can go ahead and choose a cause after that and help a cause you care about.
$12 million for good causes. You can't argue with that. J.J. Ramberg, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Great. Have a great day. J.J. Ramberg, the host of MSNBC's weekend business program, Your Business, airs Sunday mornings at 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Chicago Time. And you can also follow her on Twitter. This is a wonderful idea. It's a Gumdrop by Good Shop.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:53 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing toward positive open later on Wall Street, up 40 points. NASDAQ futures are up 4. S&P futures up 3. Crude oil is trading at $53.55 a barrel, almost down 0.5%. Now with the latest on commodities and agriculture, good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. And on this Monday morning, we'll devote more time to talking about the nation's four outstanding young farmers who make the crops that we report markets on just every day of the year. But we were in Greenville, South Carolina over the weekend. 10 couples finalists in the National Outstanding Young Farmer Awards Program, sponsored by John Deere and the National Association of County Agricultural Agents, and an unusual selection. Four were chosen as the national winners, two from the South and two from the Midwest. So very quickly, from the South, Georgia, Ben and Julia Ann Boyd were named the nation's four outstanding young farmers, crop producers, including cotton and soybeans. And then from Mississippi, Brad and Molly Judson. And they're involved in production of crops typical in the South, but soybeans also playing a role in their farming operation. Then we come into the Midwest for the two other national final winners. From Wisconsin, we find Mark and Angie Alness. And from Illinois, Chad and Deb Bremer from Pearl City, Illinois. The interesting thing about those two Midwest winners, they're both dairy farmers in Wisconsin and in Illinois. But a great night, a great program, and a great salute to the four National Outstanding Young Farmer Awards winners for 2017. We had a great time in Greensville, and you have a great time today. I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, Orion, thank you. You have a great day as well. And now on the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, February 13th, 2017. A couple of things we're watching today. Japan has reported on its preliminary fourth quarter GDP. And the markets seem to be pleased with that. The OPEC monthly oil market report has been released today as well. The European Commission publishes its winter forecast for gross domestic product, inflation, employment, and public finances, among other indicators, for member states of the EU and candidate countries as well. President Trump meets Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the White House today for a conversation about the relationship between the two nations. It is likely that trade will come up during that meeting as well. The North American Free Trade Agreement is likely to be renegotiated. The full Senate will vote on Stephen Mnuchin as Treasury Secretary and David Shulkin as Secretary of Veterans Affairs later today. Also today, the Consumer Federation of America is going to release a new research report on how the five largest auto insurers vary premiums for not-at-fault accidents, depending on the economic status of policyholders. We'll find out that later in the day. Also, it's World Radio Day, UNESCO World Radio Day, described as a day to celebrate radio as a medium. So, happy Radio Day.